The following takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Events occur.
Wednesday, hump day, everyone. Got a lot to talk about. We're actually on. This is going to be our longest show in weeks. We're actually starting before 9:15. So, Claire, Joel, I hope you are ready for this, and you're not going to jump into the show pretty late because we're going to be rolling from here until 10 o'clock because we have John Sapicetti joining us later, and of course, I got my partner in crime here, as I do always, to help me discuss all the latest happenings of the last 24 hours, and there were quite a bit. So, without further ado, I'm going to bring in the man himself, Mr. Rhode Island, Mike. Debate Mike. What's up, buddy?
No. I'm doing well, buddy. Yeah, we got a blistering set coming up here, nearly a full hour, and this will be fun. Mm-hmm. This will be good, and Always a lot to talk about, yeah. But not all of what there is to talk about is fun. Not all of what there is to talk about is interesting, I guess. Interesting, it's definitely. That is one thing that it is, but not everything we have to talk about is fun and lighthearted or, racked with levity, but we do our best to bring you what we can bring you, so that's exactly what we will do.
Yeah, and obviously, we'll start, kind of where the news has been for the last 24 hours. And that was with the verdict that was read yesterday. And look, guilty on all three charges facing, maximum could be up to 40 years, but more likely to be in the 15 to 20 year range for Derek Chauvin. It's hard to, people have tried to do it. The usual suspects out there from the GOP, I'm just going to start calling him the GOP. I mean, why not? if that's in some way disrespectful, I'll be happy. So the GOP members, the usual suspects out there questioning the validity of this and asking if you got your justice. Well, guess what? There's 10 minutes of video laying this situation out for us. And the more you dig yourself into this hole, I'm talking about these people that are out here, proclaiming that justice wasn't served or, protect the cops. No, we witnessed video laying out the entire, there's no disputing it. And you still have these people out there saying, really despicable and just racist things. I mean, really, that's what it's rooted in. Anyone out there sitting there, we were talking before we got on the air. I don't even know how to pronounce her name. Tommy LaHaron, whatever, la racist. I mean, that's what it is. When you say the things you say, you're being racist because you're generalizing an entire race. You're saying, did you get your justice? Implying that it wasn't your justice. So basically what she's saying, she can sit there and watch a police officer abuse his power and murder. And, look, regardless of what record he may have had, he was an innocent man. He did not deserve to die in that situation. And your thought is, I hope you got your justice. I mean, that's racist. I mean, let's call it what it is. Let's not sugarcoat it. We saw a lot of people really, some for the first time, but a lot of these people for several, this is their several times showing their true quote-unquote colors. And it's not surprising, but it doesn't mean it's any less despicable. So it's certainly infuriating to see that, to read it, and to know that, this is coming from people within the government, high-ranking officials, representatives, people that are meant to, protect the best interests of the American people. And, I mean, the irony of someone like Marjorie Greene Taylor questioning the validity of this and then having pro-life in her bio is just, it's mind-boggling to me. It's amazing how little they care about life when it comes to someone of a person of color and someone that may or may not threaten their agenda, which is, we want to do it for whites. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, let's not face it. Let's not, you know, mince words here. I mean, this is the same representative who was pushing for, what was it, the Anglo-Saxon appreciate. I don't know. Basically, it's a way of you know. I'm a bit lost for words, Mike. I'm sorry. So if you want to step in, please, you know, do so. I just thinking about it, I get too many thoughts going through my mind. Like, how can someone in this day and age, in the position that they're in, just spout this nonsense over and over and over again? And it's just not going away. It's a shame, but it's not going away. And you know, there was a I know people were saying yesterday was a step in the right direction, and I want to believe that so bad. I really do. And highlighting the report originally filed by the Minneapolis Police Department about the incident, and trying to imagine where we would be had that video never been released, it would have just been, you know, those guys would have been on the beat still, probably still working. I mean, let's face it, that's what it was. Based on the report filed by the Minneapolis police, they had no intention of pursuing this any further. I mean, just right there in clear, plain writing as you're, you know, sitting there reading the report. They had no intention. Video comes out, well, you don't have a choice now. So I'd like to think that this is a step in the right direction, but when I hear that this is the first time in the history of the state of Minnesota that a white police officer has been convicted of killing a African-American. First time. It's 2021. To me, that's absurd, and that tells me that we have a long, long, long way to go when it comes to moving in the right direction. And based on the comments of people in leadership, it might be even longer. So as great as a victory, in a way, again, I don't want to minimize, it wasn't a sacrifice that George Floyd made. He didn't go out seeking to die that day. So anyone saying thank you for the sacrifice, you know, again, political figures, you're wrong. It's not a sacrifice. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy that he lost his life. It's a tragedy that he went out and for, you know, at the very worst, a minor indiscretion, he got judged, juried, and executed in the middle of the daylight. And had it not been for a 17-year-old girl taking her nephew or cousin out to go get a snack, nothing would have come of it. And it's devastating because you think about, this is just one instance. One instance. And, you know, I feel for the families, I feel for the people going through this that obviously aren't responsible for it. I couldn't care less about what happens to the police officer. I mean, you know, he did what he did, and again, it's on camera, so, you know, there's no denying it. And, you know, it's a victory, yes, but the fact that we have to consider this a victory says we have a long, long way to go, and, you know, I don't know. I want to be more positive today, but I just can't because I have so little faith in the people in leadership, mostly from GOP. But that doesn't mean the other side of it isn't out of the loop either. You know what I mean? Like, there's a problem with the leadership in this country on both sides, very clearly. And again, we're not going to make any progress unless that changes. And we have a long way to go, Mike. That's what I'm saying. And I'm happy that the right verdict had, you know, they came to the right conclusion with this, and there wasn't anything further. But you know, I wake up today and I think, damn, we still have so long to go. And you know, based on even, you know, even the simplest things as people trying to celebrate the conviction and just missing the boat. I mean, that's people that still don't get it. Again, we brought up the, you know, folks asking or thanking George Floyd for his sacrifice. And again, that completely misses the boat. I mean, how can you thank someone for a sacrifice that he didn't make? I mean, that's again, I can't get over the fact that he didn't go out with the intention to die. That's it. That, you know what I mean? So don't sit there and pretend like, oh, we did it. You know, we're moving forward. No, take action. You know, don't get up there and look for your sound bite. Don't get up there and look for your video clip where, you know, it's going to go viral and you're going to be remembered as the person. No. You know, I'd rather you keep your mouth shut and work behind the scenes than go out and give some half-assed, off-the-cuff statement that completely misses the point. And, look, there was a lot of that yesterday, and I'm sure we're going to mention some of it later, especially with John. I know John wanted to talk about it as well. So, I think I was a little all over the place there. But again, when I start trying to wrap my mind around all the details and just the situation in general, it makes me sad. It does. It really does. Cause that's what I got to say. So.
No, and I think you've said it and summed it up very well, bud. I think anyone that is looking at this verdict and looking at what the aftermath of this verdict is and what it means for our society only needs to look at the amount of people that were literally scared at the possibility that this verdict would not come back the way it did, guilty on all three counts. There was irrefutable video proof that this was deliberate, that this was an act that was, you know, way too far in advance or far in excess of what was required of the police officer at the time. And there were still tons of people that were worried that this verdict was not going to come back the way it did. That tells you how far we still have to go in this country and how much work still needs to be done for equality and you know, just the lack of racial profiling, things of that nature that really are still such a big part of our country's culture. And it won't go away overnight, and it can't go away overnight. And anyone thinking that this verdict is a reason to take a victory lap is completely missing the point. You hit that very well. George Floyd did not sacrifice himself. There was no intention for him to sacrifice himself as someone that was trying to do the best he could for the cause or further along things of that nature. This is a man that did not go out, like you said, did not leave the house that day with the intention of dying for something in which he believed. That to me is extremely tone deaf. It just completely hits the wrong mark. Yes, you appreciate the verdict and what it can do to further the cause of equality in this country, but it's a small step compared to where we need to go. My thoughts go out to George Floyd's family in this. I mean, these verdicts and things of that nature can never be easy. Justice being served does not bring back your loved one. It doesn't bring back the person you lost. It can give you a sense of closure. It can give you a sense of pseudo pride. I don't want to say like over the top pride, but pseudo pride in knowing that, the person that was responsible for the death of your loved one that did not have to die is going to pay for the crimes that he committed. But at the same time, it also leaves you with a very hollow feeling. So I have a lot of, I have a lot of feelings for the Floyd family and anyone that was close to George and knew him personally, because it's a bittersweet time. It gives you some of the closure that you were looking for, but in a way that closure sometimes never comes. Anyone that's lost a loved one for any circumstance, that you knew this loved one passed away before, quote unquote, their time was up, before they should have passed on, is difficult. And sometimes those wounds never healed. A verdict like this can be a step in the right direction, but it never completely heals those wounds. And I think that really is a microcosm for the country. This helps us heal a little bit, but it's still a reminder that those wounds are there and they will continue to be there until we continue to work together. So use this as an opportunity to come together, not to divide. And I think you're seeing that on so many, political platforms where you mentioned, you know, people talking about your justice. This is not your justice. It's our justice. As Americans, we all look for justice to be served. And we should not be looking at it through, you know, the eyes of color or having that tainted in any way. But the eyes of the justice system are human eyes. And unfortunately, until we start seeing each other as equals, you're going to have to do the best you can to move forward. And that will help to move the cause along. So I know we're both all over the place today, folks, because it's just, it's really a, there's so many conflicting thoughts that can run through your head at a time like this. And it's tough to verbalize it. It's tough to really put into action and put into words what you're feeling, but it's just one of those things to really keep in mind, where we all have to come together. We all have to realize that we're all a part of this, and police officers are a part of that too. For all of the negativity that you're going to see for police departments all across the country, and the negativity that you'll continue to see in their the press covering them, there are a lot of police officers out there that do things the right way. They go to work each and every day, committed to justice, committed to equality, committed to fairness, and protecting so many people out there. Let's try to remember that the enemy is a faceless enemy at this point. It's a concept that we can all overcome together if we work together. And I think that's the best way to put it.
No, and that's, again, very well said. And, we're obviously... You know, this is a story that obviously isn't going away. The other three cops go on trial in August, and assuming there's no plea reached between now and then, we're going to relive this a little bit more. And it's a start. I'm certainly not, denying that, but God, there's a lot of work to be done.
There is.
It's on. Before we have John's going to be joining us here in a little bit. I had a pretty interesting day yesterday, Mike, because I learned that apparently the standard for a good game in the NFL has apparently fallen off the map, because I was told yesterday by multiple people that I must be trolling, or an idiot, or a moron, or, all those things,
We're morons!
Yeah, that's right. Moron, idiot, buffoon, hater, whatever. Fanboy. But I said Patrick Mahomes did not play well in Super Bowl 55, and that apparently, I don't know. Look, he was not good. Bottom line, people were trying to twist everything into, oh, well, he didn't have this, he didn't have that, the poor offensive line, the receivers were dropping passes. And look, Mike, we kind of saw this coming. I think we probably predicted it the day after the Super Bowl, that eventually, give it a few months, and he's eventually going to be a guy who suffered from poor play around him, when, in fact, he was the reason for it. It's getting quite ridiculous at this point. We have folks out there. I mean, imagine. I'm just try to imagine, Mike. Imagine if Tom Brady had a game like this in the Super Bowl. I mean, you can kind of
perfectly said.
Yeah, you can kind of figure what the response would be. It would be relentless. Brady sucks. Like this, that, and the other. Oh, he's been carried to 8 Super Bowls. This, that. It's nonsense. And again, we're seeing the hypocrisy and the fandom take over, and that's predictable. It is what it is. But I just don't see how you can look at what we saw in the Super Bowl and suggest he had anything but a bad game. And it is what it is. Brady's had bad games. I'm not saying he's never had bad games. Not as bad as this in the Super Bowl. This was bad. But the bottom line is, he had a bad game. He did not play well. And, I got people saying, the go-to, Mike, is, oh, he was running around for his life. Well, that's not good. And I'm not saying that's not good for Mahomes. I'm saying that's not good for your point. Because guess what? He was part of that problem. Was the offensive line poor? Sure. But they're acting like, they're missing both their left tackles. Well, both their tackles. One of their tackles had been out for the majority of the season. So in reality, they lost one guy. So you're telling me that he can't overcome that? You can't adjust to that? Because everything you're telling me is apparently he needs to be propped up by all the players around him. Because if they don't show up, well, he can't get it done. And I'm not going that far because I do think he's a good young quarterback. But a lot of the issues that I've highlighted in the past, a lot of the things that I think people are far too quick to anoint him, have really come to fruition here over the last year and a half or so, and specifically in this Super Bowl. The inability to read defenses properly. It doesn't mean he can't make reads. I'm not saying that. But he's clearly not on par with some of the best in the game. We saw that play out in the Super Bowl. The need to make the big play. You know, people, I mean, for years, knock Brady. Oh, he's always thrown to the open guy underneath. Well, it's smart. That's part of quarterbacking. You need to be smart to play the position. I'm not saying Patrick Mahomes isn't smart, but people get enamored with these physical traits that really don't mean much at the end of the day if you don't know how to play the position. I mean, you can have all the skill and exciting moves or crazy throws that you want, but it doesn't matter if you don't know how and you don't understand how to play the position. Now, again, I'm not saying that he's never going to have this, but when people sit here and try to tell me that, oh, he played well, no, he did not. There's nothing about what he did in the Super Bowl that warrants him being called or him being said to have a good game. And that's apparently what people got so offended by. And then, you know, again, I made a comment that I'm sure went over some people's heads, but I said I've learned that criticizing Patrick Mahomes is like criticizing David Miscavige. And if anyone gets that reference, I think it's a very appropriate comparison. And if not, Google his name and you'll find out. So, yeah, so I don't know, Mike. People are losing. It's absurd. I mean, like I'm getting in arguments with people, and you know me, I've had the opinion for a while now that Brady's still the best quarterback in the league, and my logic to it is, well, you know, how are you going to argue that a guy who's well now reigning MVP of the Super Bowl, but a guy who's been to five of the last seven, brought two separate teams to the Super Bowl, won an MVP in 2017, has somehow lost that title to a kid who had a pretty flashy 2018 season, but other than that, has not distinguished himself. Aside from the over the top praise that he's gotten from folks that I don't know, it just whatever. Go ahead.
What makes me laugh, and I know we got John coming in a second. I'm not going to steal his thunder, but what makes me laugh is the arguments that have been used against Brady for so many years. Yes. Oh, lack of offensive line. Oh, he didn't put up the stats. Oh, but you're not taking under account what we went through in the game and what he had to go through. All these arguments. To shreds. Well, that means he's just not a good enough quarterback to overcome it, doesn't it? Now, all of a sudden, it's being used to defend Mahomes. Yeah. Why the difference? If you're going to use that argument, and again, I'm not saying you can't use it. That's part of what sports fandom is. That's part of what sports media is. People have takes. They have opinions. They defend them, but be consistent. If you're going to use that argument against Brady, you have to use the same argument against Mahomes. You can't use it for him as an excuse, but then use it to Brady as a detriment. That's what I find funny. That's what I find humorous about all this. You'll use the argument to fit your narrative, but if you're doing it only to fit your narrative, is it really an argument to begin with? I don't think so.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is, because it's like these arguments are the exact, like, that's why I sit there and I can't fathom some of the responses that I get, because I'm like, wait a minute, I've heard for years Brady get ripped for that 2007 Super Bowl, in which, I mean, again, did he play great? No, he didn't play great, but if you're trying to compare the Mahomes Super Bowl, it's not even close. Brady was far better in that game, and at least they had a chance to win. I mean, people are so enamored with that damn throw the ball from oh my god, he was in midair. I don't give a beep about that. You know what I mean? Like, it was an incomplete pass that went through a defender's hand to begin with. So I don't know. It's silly to me to I get it. I get it. People love the new kid. He's flashy. He's got this athleticism. But had the privilege, Mike, of listening to Ernie Accorsi yesterday. He was a guest on one of our podcasts, former Giants general manager, and one of those guys that led to the demise of the Patriots in 2007. He highlighted some of the things that, you know, looking for in quarterbacks. And basically, it was a checklist for Tom Brady. You know, it's not about this athleticism. Like, the thing he looks for the most, the first thing he looks for when it comes to physicality is accuracy. You know, that's something that you can't necessarily teach. You can improve, but you can't teach. Brady is one of the most accurate passers of the football that have ever played. So right off the bat, you know, he's got one of those foundational skills that it takes to be a great quarterback. Now, there's so many more things that go into it. I mean, you could be accurate, but, you know, obviously you could lack all the other traits and skills and all that stuff. But basically what he highlighted was guys that elevate their game in the biggest moments consistently. And I don't think anyone, well, I mean, trust me, there are people out there that will sit there and deny the obvious, but I don't think anyone's going to sit there and say that Brady does not elevate his game in the biggest moments more consistently than everyone else. And yeah, you know, people are sitting there trying to tell me, and here's the other thing, Mike, and this is part of it, you know, this is the grave that they dug themselves. And I know John's waiting patiently, and don't worry, I'm not going to bring up Aaron Rodgers. It's not a knock on Aaron Rodgers day. For the last 3 years, we've been told by fans and media that this kid, Patrick Mahomes, is already on pace to be the GOAT, which is just an absurd suggestion to begin with. It's, for one, the guy that's widely considered the greatest of all time is still playing, so it's kind of hard to suggest that a guy's on pace to do something that's ongoing right now. So, you know, that logical fallacy aside, you know, the rest of it is, he's this otherworldly talent that we've never seen before. That's a lie. That is so far and above everyone else. But apparently not the Super Bowl. Because out of 8 quarters that he's played, 7 have been bad. Or subpar. And, you know, we're hearing all these excuses and all these things. Well, it's like, wait a minute. You've been telling me for the last 3 years that, you know, this guy has already elevated himself above Tom Brady, above Aaron Rodgers, above all these other guys. He's that just so much, it's so much more talented. You know, that's the thing. He's so talented. He can make any throw. He's throwing no look passes. That's been done plenty of times before in the past, folks. Just look it up. It's pretty simple. You know, everywhere, this is my favorite, everywhere on the field's the red zone. Oh yeah? Really? Okay. And that all falls apart when you lose one offensive tackle. And yes, I know both offensive tackles were out, but Mitchell Schwartz had been out for weeks, and apparently that wasn't an issue before. Now, again, I'm not saying that the offensive line wasn't an issue, but, you know, throwing all the blame, it's such a sad attempt to continue to prop the kid up when, look, he's a good quarterback. Is he the best quarterback in the league right now? Absolutely not. Is he on pace to be the GOAT? No. We'll talk in 15 years. Maybe that changes, but right now, no. Like, let's start a little bit lower. Like, I don't understand how he's got the privilege of leapfrogging the entire history of the NFL and going directly to, oh, he's on pace to be the GOAT. Why don't we start a little bit smaller? Because right now, he's behind that pace, if you want to be clear. I mean, he's behind that pace. So, I shouldn't be surprised. You know, again, we kind of talk about this all the time. We say, oh yeah, no, these people are crazy. They're gonna make every excuse up in the book to defend their guy. The only problem is, that's all it is. It's just excuses. And the reality of it is, he didn't play well. And if you can't accept that, then I don't know what to tell you, because by any measure of a quarterback play, he did not play well. And I couldn't believe that I was getting into this argument yesterday. It was wild. It was wild, to say the least.
Yeah, absolutely, without any question. And again, you know, just another day in paradise that we call the bird app, though, isn't it, buddy?
Exactly.
You know.
But talking about another day in paradise, I believe it's time for us to bring on our resident senior. No, that's a joke. He just happens to be a tad bit older than both of us. He is John Sapichetti. John, did you get my David Miscavige reference? Were you one of the folks that actually understood that, or am I going over the head there?
I at this point have stopped following you on Twitter. No, oh. I you You should laugh at that, Ian. Come on.
I'm laughing.
Okay. I heard Mike laughing in the background. I think he overpowered us with his laughter. Mike's got those great pipes anyway.
Exactly.
I missed the reference. And it's one of these things where as you get older, you just start to forget things at times. In fact, I'm going to the doctor's today. I have my every 6 month checkup, and I'm going to see if they can prescribe something like Prevagen so I can get my memory back a little bit, because there are some things that I never forget. And there are other things I can't remember, but I did not get the reference. But I did see you going back and forth on Twitter with the Mahomes people. Yeah. And it was interesting, to say the least. I think other than Kevin Durant, you are the most active man on Twitter in the United States, and you should be proud of that.
And I don't have any burner accounts, too, so I do it all for my own.
Awesome. Yeah, exactly. That's what I like so much about you, Ian. You're yourself. It's not burner accounts, and you're not going after has-been actors like Michael Rappaport or my good friend Shannon Sharp, like Kevin Durant. I don't know who's next to Kevin Durant to go after. Oh, he dissed Russell Westbrook by leaving him off the list of the five best players he played with, which obviously he was trolling Russell Westbrook. But I'm trying to find the people who think that Patrick Mahomes played well in the Super Bowl. Look, I'm Aaron Rodgers' biggest fan, and yet I thought he could have played better in the NFC Championship game. But there's no question Aaron Rodgers was miles ahead of Patrick Mahomes in their finals game. I mean, he put 26 points on the board. He missed, as I've said a million times, probably three throws that he normally makes. If he makes those, I think Green Bay wins that game. There was one to Devontae Adams down in the end zone, which you could say Adams dropped. I'll blame that on Aaron Rodgers. He's better than that. And he also had Marquez Valdes-Scantling going down the right sideline when they were only down five in the fourth quarter. Similar play that it scored for a touchdown earlier that he just missed. So part of really liking an athlete, and again, I think hero worshiping is dangerous, is to criticize them. You know, you criticize your own kids, even though I don't have kids, but I understand that that's what parents do sometimes. I'm not going to, after the Green Bay game, the 31-26 loss to Tampa Bay, say, oh my God, Aaron Rodgers was great. It was the rest of the team. He could have played better. The rest of the team could have played better as well. But to watched the Super Bowl and deduct that Patrick Mahomes was anything but, you know, disappointing is lunacy. I mean, I know he didn't have time to throw, but neither did Aaron Rodgers in the NFC Championship game, and he managed to put 26 on the board. And again, a couple throws down near the red zone, that's a different ball game, and they're scoring 35 instead of 26. So, yeah, I mean, but this is what Twitter is, right? Yeah. So everybody just goes on there and goes absolutely insane.
My favorite was one guy suggested that Mahomes was actually good in the Super Bowl and Brady was an afterthought. And I'm just like, this is borderline like delusional. But to clarify my comments, and maybe I should look out my window after this and make sure a car is not following me for the rest of eternity. But David Miscavige is the leader of Scientology, and
that's right.
Yeah. So yeah. If anyone's familiar with his story and his background, essentially, if you ever criticize him, you get, I mean, you're enemy. Public enemy number one. You get beat up and you know harassed and everything like that, and that's why I thought it was a very apt comparison, because that's what happened yesterday. I got called a troll for simply suggesting he did not play good and or play well, it's pretty funny. But
isn't Miscavige a really short fellow as well?
Yeah,
if I remember seeing. Now it comes back. I mean, see, this is why I need Prevagen, because as soon as you said that, I remember now seeing a documentary on him. You could also reference Vladimir Putin. You know, if anybody opposes him, they end up getting starved and poisoned and eventually die. So, yeah.
Maybe I could have invoked his name, considering he's not 10 minutes down the road from where I am. So,
Well, you don't know with Vladimir. And also, he may be a Chiefs fan because there is that red connection.
That's right. And he does... I don't know. I have fun with it at the end of the day. Sometimes I sit here and shake my head like I just don't understand it. Like, fans are one thing, but when you have people that are quote unquote in the media doing the same, like, you know, for lack of a better phrase, ball washing of Patrick Mahomes, I can't.
Well, look, I mean,
it's tough.
To prove that point, Ian, you know how big a fan I am of LeBron James on and off the court. Mm-hmm. I disagree with him with one of his tweets yesterday after the verdict, where he kind of attacked Mark Davis and the Las Vegas Raiders. I think there's incredible fake outrage against the Raiders and Mark Davis following his tweet after the verdict came down, when all he tweeted out was, "I can breathe," which is exactly what George Floyd's brother said after the verdict. And now everyone's attacking Mark Davis and the Las Vegas Raiders. And I just tweeted out about an hour ago, you know, let's stop with the fake outrage. Examine what the Raiders have been over the last 60 years, that they've been at the forefront of improving race relations in this country. The first black NFL head coach, Art Shell, Raiders. First Mexican-American head coach, Tom Flores, Raiders. Al Davis was hiring women, exactly, women in the organization, loyal to his players, probably to a fault. I mean, if you go through the masthead of the Raiders, it's just like one former great player after another that's involved somehow. And Al Davis has been gone for 10 years. You know, Al Davis, Vince Lombardi, Red Auerbach, Branch Rickey, Paul Brown, these guys were so far ahead of the curve when it came to race relations. Let's stop with the fake outrage against Mark Davis and the Raiders. Mark Davis is someone who was pleased with that verdict yesterday. And I know a lot of people saying, well, this is white privilege and this is an NFL owner who's out of touch. No, it's just he's happy with the verdict, and he is just using the same three words that George Floyd's brother said, which is kind of a play on words of what George Floyd said. His final words were, "I can't breathe." So just hold back a little bit. And if I can tell one really quick story, yeah, I'll keep it under 30 seconds. You remember Charlton Heston, who was, you know, an accomplished Hollywood actor. Wasn't one of my favorite actors. I thought he was kind of wooden, but he was an accomplished actor, won Best Actor for Ben-Hur. He was the president of the NRA. And I remember the day after he died, I was talking to a friend of mine who was very liberal. I said, "Hey, Charlton Heston died last night." He goes, "Well, good riddance." I said, "Do you realize Charlton Heston was the only Hollywood actor that marched with Martin Luther King in the 1960s? So, you know, let's suspend the hatred because the guy was the president of the NRA, that in fact he was trying to help race relations in this country by being the only major film star who actually stood by Martin Luther King Jr.'s side. Deeds mean more than words. And I think that that's something that people should realize after this incredible fake outrage against Mark Davis and the Las Vegas Raiders.
No, and I think that's a good point. And, you know, the context of Mark, for one, I'm glad that Mark Davis came out and said that was him and he owned it.
Yes.
Which, again, I didn't like the idea. Like, I can see how people would be upset, but again, people are so quick to make judgment on things that maybe they don't understand. And that's a problem that we see in every area. It's not just, you know, exclusive to this situation. But I at one point I saw someone post like the LinkedIn profiles of like the social media managers. And it's like, guys, you don't even know if they had anything involved and you're opening them up to just harassment from people. And so in that sense, when Mark came out and said that, you know, I definitely, I thought there was far more tone deaf statements made yesterday by people that, you know, I've already brought up Pelosi to Mike. And I thought that was far worse than anything anyone else said. I thought that the NHL, that was a pathetic drop of the ball. I mean, a generic sentence, but the explanation in the context in which this was put out makes it certainly far more appropriate. This is something, and again, you bring up a great point. I mean, anyone who's sitting there, you know, accusing, you know, Mark Davis forgets about the history of the Raiders and their, you know, again, long history of being on the forefront of this. I mean, there's been instances of Al Davis, you know, refusing to go places because they were going to segregate white and black players, this, that, and the other. And it's like, he's like, no, I don't care. You know, I want to win football games and, you know, I'm going to take the best players regardless of who they are. And, you know, giving opportunities to folks that, I mean, Tom Flores just is now getting into the Hall of Fame. I mean, that's how far we have to go. But if you think about it, Al Davis put that in motion years ago, and we're just now, you know, getting to the point where we can appreciate it and maybe put it into some good context. So yeah, I do agree with you in that sense. I did think there were so many just off, you know, just missing the mark statements yesterday. I originally felt that maybe that was one of them, but given the context of, you know, the situation in general, it does, you know, make it far more appropriate. And again, you have to take into account the individual's actual history of, you know, what they've done or what they've been involved mm-hmm. with, because like you can make these statements and you know, it's like the politicians, and I call them, I'm starting to call them just the GOP or POG, one of the two. I don't know, whatever disrespectful name, the GOP, and even you know, even the Democratic side. I mean, you sure. To me, I don't know if it's maybe it's the superhuman skill that I got when I got my shot, my Johnson & Johnson shot that I've still been all right with. But I have this I just have this uncanny ability to know when someone's bullshitting, mm-hmm. and to me, it's just like a lot of these statements from a lot of these politicians on both sides just hung hollow. I mean, just again, it to me, it feels more about an opportunity to promote their agenda more mm-hmm. than actually celebrating what should be a turn in where this country is when it comes to authority and race relations. But as I brought up before, this is the first time in the history of Minnesota that a white police officer has been held accountable for their mm-hmm. actions against a African-American, a person of color. And to me, that just, it's I don't want to sound pessimistic, but I feel like, you know, the folks out there, the Pelosi's of the world going up and saying, "Hey, you know, we're heading in the right direction." No, we're not. No, we're not. We have
not at all.
So much more to go. And, you know, to me, I look at that and say, yeah, you know what? I think this is a little bit more self-serving. I'd rather her have not said anything at all than go.
Well, that's the other thing too, right? Sometimes when you don't say anything, you actually are more professional mm-hmm. or mature than saying something that just doesn't come out right. And I think you had tweeted out, there was a state senator in, was it North Carolina, who said that she was sickened by the verdict. I mean, that's someone to go after. Or Tommy Lahren, who constantly has to put her, you know, beautiful face out there to inflame the fires. It's delicate situation because you don't want to come across as pandering. But you also, if you're a person in power, have to say something, I guess. I mean, Nancy Pelosi's Speaker of the House, but be a little bit more careful and, you know, maybe don't try to overreach and just leave kind of a benign comment out there.
I don't think they're capable right, of yeah. doing that. Think about who Nancy Pelosi is. This is the woman that during, you know, as we're getting close to, you know, we're just getting into this whole pandemic mess, you know, and mm-hmm. we're in the midst of you know, the impeachment trial, all that stuff. And I'm not, you know, defending Trump at all or anything like that.
No.
But I just, it always bothered me that she thought it was appropriate to stand up there and, you know, remember the ripping of the paper, you know, the big, mm-hmm. you know, big show, pizzazz, all that stuff. It's like, oh, that was a great little clip. It went viral for a while. Everyone's like, oh, Nancy Pelosi's so tough and so hard. And no, she's not. And to me, that is so transparent to me as just someone trying to further their own agenda. They saw an opportunity to get attention in the same way this is, in my opinion. She mm-hmm. saw an opportunity to get attention. Just the problem is she effed up. You know, she the Speaker of the House apparently can't speak. And that's mind-boggling. Right. And again, it just kind of shows to me how out of touch she is, and a lot of other people too. And again, this really gets to the root of the problems that we have, and that is, you know, we're not going to change anything until we change everything. And taking these little baby steps and celebrating this, it's pointless because, like I said, I mean, it's not even. I feel like it's not even a step in the right direction because based on just the reaction that we got from the, you know, everyone. It's there's just so much further we have to go, and I just don't know if the people in place now are the ones that are doing it. I don't think we're ever going to make that progress until they're gone, And, you know,
no, I mean, you need to have reform, and you have to have reform from the top on down. You know, the federal government will have to set some regulations and then implemented by the states and local police. There's so many things that you can do, better training for police officers. It's easier to become a police officer in terms of training than it is to become a hairstylist. You know, I know in Massachusetts, you have to do about 1500 hours of training to actually become a licensed barber, where about half the amount of hours to become a police officer. Is there anything wrong with maybe police officers at least having an associate's degree, some classes in psychology? Because for the most part, police officers, it's not about brawn, it's about being bright. And there's situations where you're a marriage counselor in many cases. You're not going there to stir up the pot. You're there to try to diffuse the situation. Better training would be important. And you know what? Some people just aren't cut out for the job. Mm-hmm. And once you've proven that, you shouldn't be able to go to another district to become a police officer. Yeah. We see this all the time. There should
We're
be a registry.
Right now. There's a cop. Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. And I don't mean to interrupt you, but there is a cop. And I don't have the name, but I read the story yesterday. But he had an incident, which in Pennsylvania, I believe, where the department basically, I mean, he should have been fired. I think, I apologize. I wish I had this in front of me. I want to get the details. But the nuts and bolts of it is, you know, he was forced to resign based on disciplinary action. But his former mm-hmm. department wrote a recommendation to another department down here in Florida saying, oh, no, he left on good terms. So they hired it, but then they go back and they learn of the investigation not too long ago, and he got fired at the beginning of April, the internal affairs. So, again, this isn't going away anytime soon. You know what
no.
I mean? It's not.
No.
It's just a cycle that, you know, just is clearly broken. And again, when you have public figures that are so, I don't even know if I have the right adjective to describe them, but when you have public figures, I'm talking about congressmen and women and senators and people within the government that are so brazen, I guess, to go out and tweet some of the things that they tweet after this and that are so blatantly racist and discriminatory. And I sit there and mm-hmm. think, it's like, how the hell are we ever going to change when these are the people in power? I mean, is there a more despicable human being than Marjorie Green Taylor? And I brought her up a few times today, and I just the thought of her makes my blood boil. You know what I mean? Like, just some of her, I mean, just everything that she does, I think is just, I think it's wrong. I'm confidently saying I think she is a terrible human being. And you know,
yeah,
what?
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. And it almost feels like a lot of the people in Congress who are supposed to be leaders almost feel like radio personalities.
Yeah.
Like they create a character.
That's
right.
What it
so
is.
I have to react this way to the verdict. Like what we saw a year ago, what of that part would lead you to believe that a guilty verdict should not have been put forth yesterday? Like what part of that? And to put forth that, well, you know, he was on drugs or he wasn't healthy. Look, I'm not healthy. I'm 58 years old. I have diabetes. I had a heart issue. You know, eventually I'm going to die, but that doesn't mean that, you know, tomorrow afternoon that someone should run me over while drunk driving. And at that point, the person could defend themselves and say, well, that guy, Johnny, was 58. He's probably only going to live another 15 years. So what's the difference? It's like it's lunacy.
Yeah,
it really is. They almost appear to be like radio personalities or pundits on TV. Like, here's where I have to stand on this issue because that's my character. And that is just, that's gross. Like, you know, Chris Rock has nailed it in so many of his stand-ups. He goes, sometimes I'm conservative, sometimes I'm liberal, sometimes I'm somewhere in the middle. I think things through.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a comedian who, by the way, I think is the best stand-up comedian in the world. I haven't seen many comedians in other countries, but at least in the United States. And he gets it. But mm-hmm. these leaders or so-called leaders can't get it.
Yeah, that's exactly. And I think that's a great way to sum it up is, you know, they think they're personalities and not people
yep.
in leadership. And, you know, they blindly follow. And that's my bigger problem with politics in general. And I've expressed that to Mike before and sometimes on this show that, you know, people are so just blindly following one ideal versus the next. That's why I hate I hate the two-party system. I hate the restrictions that we have. It's like, why don't you vote? Because I only have two choices. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, I wasn't a, you know, look, I'm not a fan of Joe Biden. I wasn't a fan of Donald Trump. So who am I voting for? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I supported Mayor Pete Buttigieg because I thought he was a breath of fresh air, right? Because he actually would say things that would infuriate liberals. I'm like, good, he's actually thinking things through. He's not just pandering to the far left. And I think he's, first of all, an incredibly bright guy. I mean, we were left with, you know, guys that are approaching being octogenarians, which I don't find really appealing.
No, I don't either. And look, I've said this consistently, like, I hate politics for so many reasons. You know, these situations here are highlighting it. They're just the blind follow worshiping of this ideal that is so twisted and warped that how you can sit there as it's just a human being. And I keep going back to I almost used some choice language there, but unfortunately, this is a radio show that I don't want to do that. But, you know, the irony of her, Marjorie, having pro-life in her Twitter bio and then taking some of the stances that she has. She's not pro-life. If she was pro-life, then she would be supporting the verdict here because someone's life was taken from him when he didn't deserve it. And here, all she cares about is pushing lies about, oh, D.C. is a ghost town. And then all you see in the responses in her tweet are people out in D.C. saying, no, it's fine. Everyone's out. No one's rioting. We're celebrating, you know, all that stuff. So, this flew by. we're already ready to say goodbye. So thanks, John, for coming on. I know we don't normally spend a majority of the time talking about politics, but, you know, given the circumstances and the situation that's going on now, I think it was appropriate. And ironically, the one guy who's worked in politics was pretty quiet this whole time. And I'm sorry about that, Mike. I kind of lost track of time there. So do you have any final thoughts, Mike, before we say goodbye?
No, I think you guys said it eloquently. Look, I think that, John, that was a point that I made earlier in the show, is that anyone that is looking at this verdict and the barometer of the effect that it's going to have on the United States needs only to look at the fact that there were so many people, maybe a majority of the American people, that were legitimately worried about what the verdict was going to say, that there was a lot of people that believed that there was a possibility that a not guilty verdict would be returned, despite the mountain of evidence that was there to support that this was indeed a just verdict. That tells you that there's still a long way to go in this country, folks. Appreciate the verdict for what it is, but look at it as a stepping stone, as one step toward a reform in this country that we, you know, desperately need, and work together. That's the most important thing. Try to work together. I know it's easy to develop divides. It's easy to develop animosity, and it's easy to develop hatred at times like this when people are spewing things from either side. I always say virtue lies in the middle. Follow that, and we will be able to overcome this.
Well said. And we will, Mike and I will be back tomorrow, of course. Tomorrow is Thursday. We'll talk some more sports and whatever the hell else we feel like. So, John, thank you very much for joining us as always, and we'll try to get you in soon, because maybe we'll try to get you in again at some point, because we do want to talk some basketball here. But until then, we will have to say goodbye. Give us a follow on Twitter. Our show is at FPC Radio Live, at Full Press Radio. Give John a follow. He's got that fancy blue check mark at JohnSapp25. I'm at IGLEN31, and of course, Mike is at MDABATEFPC. Folks, have a great day. Be safe, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.